meeting of Amherstburg Town Council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none, we will get on to the policy review and approval. I guess the easiest way is to probably do one at a time. So for the electronic funds transfer, is there any questions or comments? Councilor Melange?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question to Justin. On these tokens, everybody that has signing authority has their individual token?
Everyone with access to the town's bank account has an individual token.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work in the finance department and not have signing authority, but final approval has to reside with someone with signing authority.
Okay.
So that would be two individuals.
Okay. No, that's a good security feature.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our bank accounts do have at least dual authorities?
Absolutely.
Everyone?
Every single one.
Right. That's all on that. Thank you.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are we allowed to make editing? Do you want editing mistakes, Karen? If there's a mistake in it? Okay. It would be page 3 of 6, and I'm sure it's just a typo. It'll be 6-1-2, and it's the third line down, and it says singing authority, and I think it should be signing authority. If we want to sing these policies, that would be something.
Yeah, that would be, that's cool.
Another question?
Yeah.
Item 642, the bank account will be reviewed daily. Who reviews the bank account?
Through you to the counselor, I review all the bank accounts and all the activity in the accounts. I log in daily to just ensure that all things seem to be on the up and up and manage the cash flow.
Okay, any other questions on the electronic funds transfer? Deputy Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question. I'm looking at all these policies, and they sound great, but you run into something like the bank account will be reviewed daily to ensure that all EFT payments have been made accurately. Like, is it possible? Are you going to be able to do that daily?
Who are you, Mr. Mayor? I do look through the accounts every day. If not every day, maybe every morning I'll sign in, make sure everything seems adequate. With regards to EFTs, there aren't very many EFTs that go through the town. The biggest wire transfers that go out would be to the county and the school board. But we just wanted to make sure that a policy was in place so that we ensured that the proper steps of approval were in place.
So if you had to go look and you were asked, did you check this, how would you verify it? Would you have initials somewhere? Would you have it noted somewhere? How would you do that?
On all account transfers, what occurs is, especially for like large ones, when we pay the county and the school board, I will print off a copy of that transfer through the bank, and I will sign it for you by myself, and then we place it into a folder so that it's there, who approved it. And there's also a digital signature on all the transfers through the town. Just so for auditing and verification.
Sure. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Councilor Pugin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Justin. And Justin, I appreciate that you are taking that initiative. And do you have someone designated to do so when you're away on vacation or sick?
Through you to the counselor, if the treasurer is absent, the roles and responsibilities fall to the deputy treasurer.
Councilor Fryer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 5.1, the interpretations, is that going to be the norm for all policies moving forward? It's well written. The only grammar is be deemed to be
verbiage is in most of the policies, so.
So all policies are gonna have this?
Yeah.
The.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Council Milosh?
There was one point I forgot, Justin, with respect to when you download the EFT confirmation, you say you put that in a separate file. I guess for auditor purposes, wouldn't you best also attach one with all the documentation that supports, that's not indicated here, it just says you download it, but doesn't say what you do with the document.
Yeah, the document is given to the supervisor of accounting,
mm-hmm.
who makes all the journal entries for the town,
mm-hmm.
and creates the proper support. That way you have that separation of duties where the individual making the transfer and finally approving the transfer is not making the journal entry, so that if there are errors, there's that extra level of support.
But if I went to the physical document that supports the payment, would I find, much like you would put a stub of a check stapled to your invoices, but you put the confirmation of the electronic funds transfer stapled to, as well as probably in your own file. And that's all the only point I'm trying to make, so that you've got a full audit trail on that supporting documentation.
That's correct. A PDF print, like a PDF
yeah.
printout is,
yeah.
is attached in the file and supports
okay.
each journal entry.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilor Pleasure?
If everyone has their questions answered, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Sure.
A motion to for council to approve the electronic funds transfer policy.
Okay. Second, Councilor Fryer. All those in favor? Carried. Brings us to the revenue recognition. Councilor Milosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When you refer to cash and you talk about cash equivalent, Justin, is that refer also cash equivalent being vouchers, if there are any?
I mean by vouchers just like debit card receipts?
Much like, you know, coupon or voucher, if we have any of such thing in town, I guess I'm just referring to that as it, like the town does not accept any kind of voucher or any coupons of any sort,
no,
or has no intention. Well, I'm just covering all bases here. All of a sudden, the tourism decides to hand out vouchers to whatever, that we cover that off. But if you're saying that we'll never accept that, that's fine. I'll move on. Sorry, just trying to find. I'll come back on this one.
Councilor Fryer?
I move receipt and adoption of the revenue recognition policy.
Second by Councilor Levine. I'll just ask if there's any more questions. Councilor Courtney?
Under item 4 for barter transactions refers to an exchange of goods and or services. What would some of those goods or services be?
Through you to the councilor. It's very rare, but there are occasions where the town may exchange something for another service provided. The proper way to account for that is to recognize the revenue from that service. I won't, here's an example, I guess. We could receive a donation or a bequest, someone could gift, say a Christmas tree we use in the park. The proper way to reflect that for accounting purposes would be to issue a receipt for that donation and subsequently have the expense, so that there's really a zero-sum game, but you're actually recognizing the event that took place. Maybe that's a bad example, but it's a very rare occurrence, but a good policy would have something to deal with that, if it was to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just says the second part of that, between two or more parties where no money exchanges hands, if you give them a receipt for the Christmas tree, then that's money.
That would be a donation receipt, I suppose.
A donation receipt, okay. Further question, item 4.8, contra account. Can you explain that to me, Justin?
Absolutely. We may enter into an agreement where we may have a supplier and he may do work for the town of Amherst, and he may also owe us a significant amount of money on the accounts receivable side. So as opposed to paying him for services we use while he's not paying us, I would contra the two accounts so that the town is not out any additional funds and use it to reduce the accounts receivable that he owes us for.
Councilor Melange?
Where there's an exchange of cash or delivery of goods or whatever, do we always issue a piece of paper evidencing the transaction immediately?
Absolutely. All cash receipts are documented.
But even if I deliver product and the invoice to follow, are you using some form of delivery receipt?
Through the procurement policy? Yes.
Procurement.
Are you suggesting like the use of petty cash to pay for something? And
No. I deliver, for example, I'm trying to think of an example. I deliver some product. A vendor would maybe not have an invoice, but he'll have a packing slip that you'll sign
off. Or a bill of lading or something.
A bill of lading, yeah. A packing slip. So again, as evidence of a transaction, not that here I'll bill you tomorrow. I just want to know that we are issuing a piece of paper every time we do a physical transaction that affects cash or receivables or billing.
Well, that would be more of a purchasing side of the transaction.
No, I'm talking about where we're delivering something. Case of a service.
We
very rarely deliver products.
We don't manufacture.
Well, no, but like, for example, at the arena, somebody will buy something and I'm going to give you cash. How are we transacting? We're not giving no receipt. We're just saying, here, give me the money and I put it in the till.
Well, we give receipts.
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to get at. I guess, are we issuing a receipt every time there's an exchange of money?
Yes, we receive all cash transactions.
Okay, whether the arena uses a simple, okay. Next point had to do with the barter. It should reflect also HST or any tax where applicable in that comment, because it isn't just straight the actual goods and services, but there's the tax associated with it that should be included in that clause. Because the government, even though you do a barter arrangement, the government still wants their tax value.
Agreed.
I can't remember what it was on 6.5.1.
And that's in the rare circumstance that we ever have that,
but
we should follow.
It's a policy we should probably just add it.
Right. So
we can add that inclusive of.
And I'm done. I'm done with the question.
6.5.1.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To you, to Karen. I always prided myself on being an editor, okay? There's another little typo, I believe. Item 642 on line 2, it says at that time the deferred revenue entry, I would imagine you mean the deferred, or is deferred the word you want?
When you have deferred revenue, then at that time the deferred revenue entry is reversed. That's this deferred right there.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The proper spelling.
That's correct. It's a he.
You're correct.
You are correct.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor? Carried.
Maybe it's going to be difficult.
bank accounts. Councilor Levine?
Thank you. I just had a couple about the different accounts. The Ranta account, we're reconciled there. It's a separate account. Public's okay with that. We're good. The Ranta Marina.
The Ranta Marina. It is for the park.
Yes.
Yes. It is reconciled. It is fully.
There is an account there.
There is an account.
Listed here. Okay,
yes.
Good.
It is backed in cash.
The other one was the Tri-County Emergency Account. What do we put into that? And what's it?
That account is the funds we receive from Fermi 2 for emergency services for sirens. The funds come in once a year, and it is administered by the fire department. It's about $25,000.
So it covers the sirens that alert the public, basically?
Correct.
Okay. The BRIC fund account?
The BRIC fund account was established well before my time, but it is restricted money to use for bricks with names on them.
The ones in the Navy Yard Park?
In the Navy Yard Park.
Okay. So those are donations to pay for the bricks that they have their family. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. That was the only three I had.
Councilor Malash?
6.6.1.1. Page from Joan here. Used to tack or used to track. And Councilor Levine has answered more of this. Made the question.
Any other questions on bank accounts? Councilor Courtney?
Through you to Mr. Mayor, to Justin, are all of our accounts with CIBC?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to the councilor, that is correct. They are.
Projector. No, it's a projector fan. Councilor Malone?
For the motion to approve this a policy with respect to bank accounts, given and approve, including the corrections.
Second. Councilor Levine? All those in favor? Carried. Investment? Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item 4.1, asset-backed securities. Justin, can you explain that to me, please?
So those are financial instruments that have a tangible asset behind them. For example, when you're talking about different investment policies, you could be talking about bonds, which are actually, you're purchasing the debt of a different entity and using that debt repayment, you're really financing their debt. That would be a bond. This is where you're financing something that has a tangible asset backing to it. So you're investing in a piece of, like a investment that has a tangible net worth, right? Does that help? Or?
No.
Sorry, that's kind of.
A mortgage is an asset.
Yeah, actually, that's a perfect example. A mortgage is secured by the asset, your house. Just in this type of investing, it would be you would be investing in commercial real estate or something like that. But I was thinking a little too complex for that. I apologize.
Councilor Malash?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 6.2.3.2. You're saying diversifying long-term holdings in mitigate. I think it probably should say to mitigate.
Yes, to mitigate effects on the factory utility.
Go through, an explanation to please of one funds. I know what it is, but take it, a little deeper explanation of it.
Absolutely. The Municipal One Fund is administered by AMO, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, and what it is a pooling of public funds invested in a larger portfolio. So it's basically getting the investment power of all of the Ontario municipalities into a giant pool to get better returns on interest and investments. It's actually a tool used by most municipalities as their bulk of their investing strategy.
Thank you. One further question. 6.7.4, prior to the disposal of investments, would that come before council before you would make a decision to dispose of any investment?
6.7.4. The policy actually speaks for an annual report to come before council. It doesn't speak of any specific one transactions. I can tell you when we developed this policy, the idea behind it was not really to develop a policy for where our current investment strategy is going to be, but probably for a much longer term projection. I didn't want to create a policy that limited us. In the short term, what we'll be doing is we will be investing in GICs and low risk securities to get a little bit better rate of return on our excess funds that are sitting in deposit.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be doing anything very significant or risk averse where you would actually have to dispose of any real investments. For example, we'd be using like money markets that rotate on a 60-day term, so you're guaranteed to pick up 1 or 2%, nothing crazy. We wouldn't be going too far into buying securities or anything like that in the portfolio. So I don't think council has to worry about.
But when you look at that particular the broad portfolio where you have short-term, mid-term, long-term investments,
mm-hmm.
and at some point in time, you may want to say, hey, we want to get out of more midterm or shift it over to short-term, as an example.
Right.
Would you come back to council?
I would, before we did any sort of long-range planning, I would absolutely come back before council with the annual investment report and change that strategy. Right?
Okay.
But for the short-term, with the amount of funds that we have, it would just be better to accumulate a little more than 0.5% of interest in our deposit accounts by taking out some GICs and different
okay.
strategies.
Thank you.
Councilor Courtney?
Sorry, love you, Justin. I'm just wondering, do we, as a person, homeowner, whatever, I may get a financial advisor to help me make financial investments, okay? That won't happen because I don't have any money. But do we have a financial advisor? Or do we leave that to your expertise to decide where the money should go?
At this point, we do not have a financial advisor. The critical step before any investment decisions were going to occur was to pass the policy. And then the next step would be to, as I alluded to, start using some of our disposable excess cash in short-term investments. So I could tie up a little bit of money for maybe 30 or 40 days, but I know that we're going to have a large capital project and I'm going to need that funds to pay for that. But I know that's about 60 days away. Well, it's better to earn 1.25% interest than 0.5% interest. So I'll lock that up for 60 days or something to that effect. We won't be doing anything too elaborate at this point that would really require too much as far as financial management goes, but at some point in the future, we may have enough funds to do that.
If I could add to that, Counselor, I think 6.7.2.1 basically provides council with the oversight of what type of investments we can invest in. It's very limited. It's all very secure type of investments. When you look at it, the diversification of our investment portfolio, although we do have hopes it's going to grow in the future, it's very limited, right? They're very, very secure types of investments that we would make, and we would never be in a position, and we're governed by the Municipal Act on what type of investments we can make. And they're all, as you can see, no municipality wants to take risk. It's all very risk-averse types of investments.
Councilor Malone?
One last question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What's the accounting treatment, Justin, for investment growth? What do you... Are you treating it as operating income?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. I guess maybe I'll ask this question. On the reserve side, when you have investment growth, where is that money? How is that being accounted for?
That any reserve fund growth, that interest income remains within the reserve. Mm-hmm. Perfect example would be
development charges. What's the offset to the revenue? Equity?
You would, in the consolidated statements, you would go to reserve revenue and then stay within.
Okay, so cash and reserve revenue.
Cash and reserve revenue. Okay. Yeah, it stays within the equity component of the town.
Okay.
Councilor Bougin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Justin. Justin, 6.15.3, ethics and conflicts of interest. Employees and officers shall not undertake personal investment transactions with the same individual with whom business is conducted on behalf of the town. So if for example, if we have our banking at one place, you can see, and then so you couldn't have your own personal account there, or you couldn't deal with the same person that's in that bank for your own personal bank account?
Through your worship, I don't think that's what that's intended for. CIBC is a large financial institution. I personally don't think anyone on council would be dealing with the same financial advisors or financial representatives as the town would be. Mm-hmm. We deal with the commercial branch that is really out of London on a personal level. Although we deal with the local institution here, they're just taking our deposits. All of our terms are dealt with at a corporate head office.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions? Councilor Marsh?
Move to accept the investment policy as written.
Second, Deputy Mayor. Councilor Courtney?
No.
Okay. All those in favor? Carried. Loans and borrowing. Councilor Malone.
6.4.1 and 6.4.2. Is 6.4.2 just being more restrictive as to what we're attempting to do, or am I reading this wrong?
That is correct.
Okay, so just being more restrictive as to where we want to be.
Correct.
I'm going to make a comment to that. Then, are we by adopting this 20%? Are we not limiting ourselves, limiting the borrowing? Because if we say that annual payments can't have to be below 20%, we're really restricting borrowing. Because
that's correct. But you see the caveat to that is 6.4.21. If at any time the limit is exceeded, a report will be given to council identifying the outlined reason. So council would have the ultimate decision to see if the project that would push us over the 20%
so it
would be warranted.
Okay, so basically if you're monitoring this and you see we're going to be over the 20%, you would come back to us and say, hey, this our potential borrowing will put us outside here.
Correct.
But the municipal limit is 25%.
The municipal limit is 25%.
Okay.
We are currently at 13.5%.
Oh, okay. But, okay, that's, I read it that way, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Counselor Pujo?
If there are no more questions, I would move that council approve the loans and borrowing policy.
Second, Counselor Milosh. All those in favor? Carried. Reserve and restricted funds? Counselor Milosh?
I'll move that the reserve and restricted funds be approved, the policy be approved.
Support.
Second, Counselor Courtney. Questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Tax stabilization reserve? Councilor Fryer?
I'll move receipt and concurrence with the tax stabilization reserve policy.
Second. Councilor Pujo? Councilor Milosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Explanation of 6.2.1.2.
Investment income. Oh, investment income.
It says
it's just basically through Mr. Mayor to the councilor. It's just basically stating that we can use investment income earned in that reserve to pay for a capital project for which that reserve is being used. For example, development charges. If we earn investment income in development charges and we attribute monies that are in the development charge account to a specific capital project, the investment interest that was earned over all the years can be attributed to that capital project.
Okay, thank you. And one last question, 6.3, where are we today in terms of percentage as a town?
At the end of last year, after we transferred the surpluses to the tax stabilization reserve, we're at 5.3%. So we just, because of the surpluses from last year, we were actually able to put the tax stabilization reserve into a place where it has a healthy balance. And this particular reserve is there. It's an equity reserve. This one I don't actually put cash away in. But it is there to offset issues that may come up due to drop in the tax base to help us mitigate that. So we're saying that we'd like to put away 5% of the town's taxation revenue in that reserve to mitigate any drops in assessment base or decline in population. Most municipal finance readings that you do say that the reserve should be between 5 and 15, over 15%. You put too much into the reserve and you could be overfunding it. So that's why I set those
If we run the risk of going below the 5%, we would have to look at budgeting extra dollars in a budget year?
Either budgeting extra dollars or transfers from another reserve. I will monitor it and basically and keep you informed as to where we sit.
Transfer from another reserve?
I mean, you could technically transfer from a reserve that you feel is overfunded to fund this reserve.
Okay.
Which I doubt would be the case, but it is a possibility. If this does drop below the 5%, a report to council will come with a plan of action.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other, Councilor Mark?
I'll make a motion to approve the policy, the tax stabilization policy as written.
We already have.
Sorry?
It's already been moved.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Any other questions?
Guess I'm sleeping on it.
Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Councilor Pujo?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Justin. Now that we have completed the seven policies, how close are we to finalizing the report and filling out the request from Deloitte.
Deloitte. There was a total of we tabled 14 policies. This would put half of them to rest. Plus, there was another 3 tabled in May, which we have to bring back to council. So we still have to get through a good portion of policies. In this update I brought in September, I said that we would be bringing an additional 7 policies. I am actually diligently working on finishing those right now. I worked on some of them today even. The idea is to have those policies before council by the start of March, so that we are set for a timeline to approve the policies and deal with the Deloitte report within the 24 months.
Deputy Mayor?
I was just going to ask that question. We are within the time period. We're still doing okay.
That's correct. The Deloitte report was issued on August 11th, 2013. So it would be this August before the 24 months is over. 2014, I'm sorry. You're correct, Councillor.
Councillor Carney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank Justin and his department and Karen for all the hard work that you... These policies are extremely comprehensive and detailed, and I, for one, appreciate the work, and I'm sure I speak for all my colleagues around the table, so thank you.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. Councillor Puget, Councillor Levine, all those in favor? Carried.